Yes, first of all, thank you, Irvin, and to the organizers for inviting me to the conference. I appreciate the opportunity to come back to Canada since I'm in glorious exile in D.C. To come back to Ontario and to go back to U of T, I went to high school here a few years ago. The school and the university have since parted ways, but I still consider myself to be a high school graduate of the university, campus just up the street. And to this very room was where I had my high school graduating dinner. I sat just over there. So I'm delighted to be, but that was a few years ago. For the past 10 years or so, the Quebec question that we're focused on today has been in something of abeyance in Canadian politics, little spoken about in public, although actively discussed in quiet. I would say that that period of abeyance is not coincidentally the same time as the collapse or the disintegration of the Laurentian consensus in Canadian politics that obtained for most of the country's history. David Peterson was able to start this morning with a discussion about his efforts to create Toronto-Quebec City-Ottawa axis. I think the high point or the last point of that that led to the collapse of the Laurentian consensus was Mr. Morney's effort to try to accommodate the demographic and economic shift center of gravity to the west within the Laurentian consensus. I think Mr. Morney did as good a job as possible in trying to persuade Westerners and, for that matter, Newfoundlanders that their aspirations, their views of the country, their philosophical predispositions could be accommodated within the Laurentian consensus. And he failed, because I think that's just not possible to do. And so the idea, the project of trying to recreate a Toronto, Quebec City, Ottawa, or as we used to say when I was at the University of Calgary doing my PhD, it's not really Toronto and Montreal, it's really just a Kingston, Ottawa axis. I'd say that even now that Simeon's moved to U of T. Well, I was used to say that Kingston was perfectly located for this, being Ottawa and Montreal's nicest suburb. That joke went over better in Calgary when I was a PhD student. But the fundamental underpinning of the country's politics has shifted. And as a result of the shift, the mutual interdependence of strident Federalist and strident Separatist has been undermined. I mean, we forget that the Separatist-Federalist debate is two sides of the same coin. An effort to create a political monopoly on an axis of polarization that perpetuated the interests of both sides of the polarization. But happily, that's gone into abeyance, and we can mark the sort of overt signpost that led to the abeyance, the passage of the Clarity Act and the Supreme Court reference, the passage of the House motion recognizing the Quebecois form a nation within a united Canada, itself the result of, I think, a tragic strategic blunder by the Bloc Quebecois to submit the question of Quebec's identity and description of Quebec's place in Confederation to the House of Commons for adjudication, rather than to keep this as a question within Quebec. Really, the biggest mistake that separatists have ever made in the history of the country, and one that my boss was adept to take advantage of in an effort to close out that particular debate. And then I have to say, since I had some part of it, I don't mean this in a partisan way, although people take it in a partisan way, frankly, the Harper government's experience of an extended period of clean government in Ottawa in the aftermath of the sponsorship scandal. When I became chief of staff in PMO, the biggest threat to the resurgence of separatism in Quebec was the perception, or the possible perception, that Ottawa could not clean up its own public administration scandals. And the Federal Accountability Act, and then 6 years of whatever else you think of the Harper government, it's been clean government, to prove that, in fact, Ottawa is able to clean up its own messes. Therefore, I'm a little impatient about people who warn that although Quebec separatism is dead or is in abeyance, that it's not dead, that it will, could recover at some point in the future, and we should be preparing for the day when it will move into resurgence. I think this is the wrong question to ask. For sure, Quebec separatism, the Quebec question is in abeyance. The question is, how do we keep it such? Is there a possibility that we could kill off the threat, if you will? Because there's no doubt that that the decades-long polarization between separatists and federalists in Quebec did damage primarily to Quebec and did damage to the entire country. Richard asked me in the email correspondence when I put this question to him, how would you go about doing that? What's the secret? There is no secret. Further decade or two of steady good government, gradual expansion of the mutual prosperity of the country, wealth in Quebec and elsewhere, governance with respect to the fact that Lake Québécois form a nation within the United Canada. And then I think the active marginalization of people who want to stir up trouble by restoring the polarization of that debate is helpful. At some point, the House motion on Lake Québécois is not going to, I don't think, will remain forever simply a House of Commons motion. There will be at some point an opportunity to constitutionalize that provision at some point. I don't see that in the next 3 months, but I've been wrong about these things before. The fact of the matter is that when we moved the House motion, when I was in the Prime Minister's office, we were prepared for a great deal of controversy over that issue, aside from the fact that we lost the Intergovernmental Affairs Minister over issue. That was the limit of the controversy. There was no great rebellion of all the supposed hidden rednecks on the back benches of the Western caucuses of the Conservative Party. There was no great uprising in the media chains anywhere. There was no, of all the great axe grinding of 1995 and the patriation battles and so on and so forth, all of that had disappeared. And I think that's a very good sign. I think as a result, the country's in better shape politically. With good governance, the country will be in better shape economically. And at some point in the past, we'll come back to the issue of constitutionalizing the House motion. Richard.